In the second week that we were here, we had a veteran stand up and talk about the 22 veterans who commit suicide every day. And his statement was, you guys don't realize how many lives OHOP has saved. Just in the last 2 weeks, we had a veteran here named Levi. And you could see it when he came in, you could just look at him. But he accepted Christ, all right, and became one of the most energetic guys we've seen here that I've seen. And he just stood up, and his testimony was dramatic in the sense that how Christ has just changed his life in the last couple of years. He says, Christ has given me hope. He says, I was going to go home and kill myself. And OHOP has saved my life and changed my life. Not just saved my life, but changed my life because of Christ, obviously.
Welcome to On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse. I'm Melissa Strickland, one of the correspondents here, and this week Christy asked me to introduce this episode to you while she's overseas with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It's actually a special episode to me personally because I got to meet the couple you're going to hear from while I was in Alaska this summer. As you know, Veterans Day is November 10th, and here at Samaritan's Purse, it's a particularly special day. Many of our staff are veterans, including Christy's husband and our chief operating officer, Edward Graham. Most importantly, however, it gives us the chance to highlight and celebrate the work that God is doing through Operation Heal Our Patriots. This is a special project that we have here focused on military couples whose marriages are struggling because of the wounds of war. Often we think of the wounds of war as physical injuries, but it also means unseen wounds like traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder. Sometimes these unseen wounds are more debilitating than the physical injuries, and we see that in higher divorce rates among combat veterans, as well as a tragically high number of suicides. I was in Alaska this summer and talked to one of our staff members, Irv Clifton, whose voice you heard at the beginning of the episode, about how God is using Operation Heal Our Patriots, which we often call OHOP, to save not just marriages, but actual lives, as these military couples hear the gospel and find hope and healing through a relationship with Jesus. Today, Christy and I are excited to introduce you to Matthew and Dawn Shepherd. They came to Alaska to restore their marriage, but they found so much more. Christy heard their story, and they shared how the veteran suicide rate became more than a statistic to them.
So Matthew and I have been together for 11 years. After years and years of struggle and a lot of loss and just a lot of heavy stuff that we weren't dealing with. We didn't know how. We didn't have the tools. We didn't have the resources. And last summer, we had an incident in our family where Matthew made some unfortunate decisions that really could have ripped our family completely in half. We don't like to share that part of our story, but after coming home from OHOP, we realized that it's our story and we have to own it and we have to see that God brought us to it, brought us through it. And so that was kind of the catalyst for OHOP coming into our lives, because that situation happened and we started really looking for resources for help, because we could see that all the things we were putting in place weren't working. And we, you know, there was just a puzzle piece missing. And so we got an email from one of his resource officers at a program he had attended. And I looked at it and I was like, a trip to Alaska? Like, what? Who, you know, what is this about? And so, of course, the natural inclination to apply to go to Alaska, you know, is exciting. Like, who doesn't want to do that? But The other side that really stood out to me was that there was a component of bringing God into it. And I didn't know what that meant when I was reading it. And so I just thought to myself, at this point, we have nothing to lose. This is like kind of our last ditch effort, as far as I was concerned. And so I applied with the intent that God would bust Matthew's heart wide open with no intention that it would do anything to my own.
After I did some research, I kind of saw that a lot of spouses don't necessarily, like, understand. We don't live near any military anymore. So I wanted her to see that I wasn't the only one and that she wasn't the only one that deals with this kind of stuff. And then also for the camaraderie, like, I miss being around veterans. And I think that I wanted to bring God back into our marriage. because we hadn't attended church for quite some time. We are Christians, but are we really if we're not like practicing?
Thank you both for sharing. And I think that is often the case. You know, people come for different reasons and different hopes and what they want to get out of it. But the Lord does, you know, far above what we ask or imagine. And I will say, you know, because Edward and I, you know, we met and married right out of his military career. And so I feel like we kind of grew up together. And I do see some of my friends that maybe met later. That's why it's awesome that you wanted her to see the camaraderie, kind of see other people like you, because that's what Satan wants you to do, is make you feel like you're the only one struggling with this. You are isolated. You are, and when you get out of the military, that's even easier for him to do, you know, because you are isolated. And I think even, and that's what we're seeing with a lot of our friends getting out. It's the ones that maybe weren't a part of each other's journey. And so they don't understand. And then there's that barrier. And then, yeah, you're away from that camaraderie. And so I agree. And that's what I miss the most from not being with our military community anymore. And so I can imagine that would make your marriage even more challenging, because you kind of have these, you know, isolated worlds that it's hard for you to even understand. So maybe, Matthew, can you even share what you did in the military and the military changes you? Combat, deployments, training, you know, it has its scars that last forever. So maybe share what you did and maybe kind of some of the impact that is ongoing.
I didn't really know what I was doing. I kind of was young and wanted some direction. So I joined open contract where they picked my job for me at the needs of the Marine Corps when I graduated boot camp. So I ended up with a motor vehicle operator. So they started giving me licenses for everything. So I was a vehicle recovery operator. So I drove a wrecker. I enjoyed it. I loved the Marine Corps. I wasn't one of the ones that, a lot of them say they hated it. I absolutely loved it. And I deployed to Afghanistan in 2009, right after I got to the Fleet Marine Force. And the unit they put me with was deploying, and they were already in California. And they was like, we need people with your licenses. Do you want to go? And I was like, well, yeah. And I deployed with them. And I was the first person to hit an IED in my unit. And I was ejected from the vehicle. So I can't remember everything that happened, to be honest with you. Anyway, they patched me up, took care of me. I was on some kind of light duty or something of that nature for a while. And I finished that deployment. I come home, and I was on the post-deployment leave, like right when you get home, you get to come home. And one of my staff NCOs called and said, hey, did you see the earthquake in Haiti on the news? And I was like, yeah. He was like, you want to go to Haiti and provide security for UNICEF? So I went to Haiti. That is the most poverty, some of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life. Weren't even in combat. I was there a couple months, like feeding people, trying to take care of the people. And then we came home and I actually did the workup this time where you go to California to train in the desert, and went to Afghanistan again. By the time we went back, there were way more boots on the ground in Afghanistan. And most of my friends had gotten out and went on to the next chapter in their lives. And all my command was leaving. And I think they were trying to look out for me by not leaving me there, because when the whole command changes above you, things are different. So they sent me to a place called Motor Vehicle Incidental Driver School. And I went and trained young Marines how to drive, like all these military vehicles, and gave licenses. And that's what I did till I got out.
A lot of life lived before you guys met each other, you know, which with the Lord, nothing is lost. You know, I think he uses all chapters, and pain becomes purpose. And, you know, we know that God can use. But, you know, marriage is tough anyway. And then when you have, you know, layers and layers of things to catch up with. So I guess my question for you, Dawn, is, you know, before you met Matthew, you know, knowing, what was your awareness of military life and just even the effects that combat, and when you're a first responder, you see things that we should never see, you know, and that can leave a lasting impact, you know, depression or PTSD, you know, just the impacts of trauma and war, on our military?
Absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. I had absolutely no clue what I was getting myself into. Mm-hmm. I had grown up with my own personal trauma. And so the trauma piece of it, like PTSD, depression, anxiety, childhood abuse, all those things, you know, I was super well versed in that, knew nothing at all, you know, military related. I knew there were all these different pieces to his life. I did not know there was PTSD. I did not know there was depression. I did not know there was anxiety. I did not know that there had been deployments. I didn't know about Haiti.
And that's why I love, you know, one of our chaplains at the marriage dedication in Alaska, you know, he said this, the fact that you want to rededicate your marriage speaks volumes because now you know what you're getting into, yes. You know, because I think all of us get married, you know, and I think there is beauty to not knowing everything and learning it as you go. But then when you choose marriage and you choose to renew your vows in Alaska and, you know, when people do rededicate their marriage and their lives, it means more because you know what the depths are. So I'm thankful that our country still honors and recognizes, and I think we do love our veterans. But as you're talking, you know, I think, yes, thanking them, giving them discounts, giving them things is great. But I think there are layers and layers and layers that go beyond that. And so I think I just want to bring awareness today, you know, suicide rates are really high, especially amongst our veterans. The statistics are only growing. I do ache and I hurt for those that don't have the hope of Jesus, you know, because everything in this world, these vices that we cling to, they are not long lasting. I know you have lost a friend, a dear friend, and I have too. And so I just want to bring awareness to just because they come home, I think we often say, oh, you're home, you're safe, you must be so happy. And I think I watch actually the trauma begins when you get home, because I think you guys are good at when you're in combat or you're gone, you put on that uniform and you're able to put on that facade. But then when you come home and you take it all off, you have a different kind of battle. So maybe can you share, you know, share about your friend, share about the pain and the trauma you've been through here on home soil?
I had numerous people that I deployed with commit suicide, and it always bothered me, mm-hmm. but it never really hit home. But then when my best friend did it, it really hit home. Mm-hmm. And we knew what he was going through, but I never expected that. And after that, it really changed me. I had more thoughts of it myself.
Mm-hmm. I remember something he said, too, that's really important to put is, you know, when you come home, there's not, or there wasn't when he, I think we've read a little bit more as, you know, been done now to help people transition from military to home life. But for Matthew and the guys he was with, they didn't have that resource. You know, you got out, you were handed your paperwork and said, if you have problems, go to the VA. There was nothing else outside of that. I didn't know this when I met him, but we've talked about this recently that, you know, they're conditioned to hear that 22 a day. And I think a lot of it, they compartmentalize because they're prepared in a sense that when we get home, we're going to lose some of our guys. You don't know who that's going to be. And we've talked a lot about the fact that, and I want to say his name because I think that's a really important piece. He's not just a statistic in our life. He's part of the 22, but he's more than that. His name was Sean Boyer. When you come home, something Matthew shared with me was you hear that magical number, but you have a thought in your head of who it won't be. You don't know who it's going to be. You know, 22 is just that number. But in your head, you know who it won't be because you know these people have a good, you know, system. You're keeping in contact with them. They have, some of our people had families and, you know, wives and children and jobs and lives. And there was a sense of purpose. I mean, there were several years where we were hearing 3, 4, 5 names a year. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't processing it at all. But you don't know the background of what got those people to that place from when they left to when it happened. And so you don't really think about it. But we were in the thick of it with Boyer. You know, just watching Matthew, like I didn't necessarily know all the struggles Matthew had personally, but I knew that there were some issues that they both shared. And there's a mentality in the Marine Corps, especially, where if you seek help or you ask for help, you're weak. Mm-hmm. And he and I used to go toe-to-toe on this issue because I was very opposite. You know, I was super heavily encouraging Matthew, like, hey, you know, there's an emptiness that I'm seeing in you. We've got to get that figured out. Even though I had that relationship with Christ myself, for some reason, I did not push him to the Lord. And that's been a really heavy regret that we've both carried with Boyer, is knowing that he, you know, felt that way about feeling weak. And then he became, you know, part of the 22. I remember us having a conversation because, of course, he came to our house during that time. And when he got here, I don't know what happened, but God kind of flipped a switch in my heart that was like, do you have a relationship with the Lord? Like, what do you believe in? Mm-hmm. And I remember him specifically saying, like, yeah, I know God's there. I know he exists, but, you know, look at all the things that have happened around us. And I remember very specifically saying to him, what do you mean, Boyer? Like, you've been by our side through the darkest moments of our life. Like, you watched my husband go through all these things. You watched him go through a divorce. You watched him transition home. You know, all of our miscarriages. I just was baffled that he was mm-hmm. looking at our life and couldn't see God. And then I think at that point he went off to a rehab and transitioned back home and was doing great. And so, you know, that weight was lifted for us. His wife was pregnant. She too had experienced several miscarriages, and we bonded over our pregnancies and just the miracle that God had placed in both of our lives. And, you know, it just really shifted. And Boyer was so excited about his son and the pregnancy. And he had like this renewed life in him. And so all the concerns that we had about him becoming part of the 22 went away because we thought he had purpose. And unfortunately, you know, it deteriorated really fast. He just got, you know, I think isolation mm-hmm. and, you know, PTSD and anxiety and depression. Even still, we did not believe, you know, he would ever be that statistic, you know, ever. To be honest, I'm still, to this day, it's hard to admit that he is.
Well, thank you for sharing Boyer with us and introducing us, to Sean Boyer. I'm so thankful that you shared his story and told us his name, because you're right, he's not a statistic. And all those that are lost in battle or at the battle at home, they have a name, they have a story, they have family, and we want to honor and remember. And so as you were talking, and you've been through so much trauma, and but yet I see purpose in the pain coming through. So Operation Heal Our Patriots, you know, I love this ministry because Jesus is at the center, you know, because as you're talking, there are so many different, we want to try to fix things. And I love what you said, we can't fix this, you know, human, man, even watching the chaos in the world, man can't fix the problems here on earth. Sin is the problem, but Jesus is the answer. So I guess I just want to hear what Operation Heal Our Patriots, your time in Alaska, you said you knew the Lord beforehand, but you weren't walking with him. But I know I've heard it said that you wished your friend, you wish Boyer could have gone to Alaska. You wish many people that you've known could go and hear. So what is different about it? What did the Lord do in Alaska? How did he change, you know, your life? And maybe how is he continuing to?
The amount of love that, like, genuine love mm-hmm. that from all these people that are yeah. from all these different places, but all come together for this one thing. Mm-hmm. I've never felt so loved in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And only person that can do that is God. And like these, it was, I didn't know what I was going to get out of it, to be honest with you. But it, for one, it renewed my relationship with Christ and really kind of makes me more thoughtful of the actions I have, the things I say. I try to be more purposeful and live like I should through Christ. And from the people that take you fishing, to the people that clean your room, like to the people that prepare your food, you're treated like royalty and like literally loved on for the whole week. And I've never felt nothing like that in my entire life. But one of the main things I gained from it was that I didn't expect, like I knew it was a marriage thing, but was some tools to better my marriage at home.
It's actually funny because, man, y'all, we were arguing the whole way to OHOP, truly, like, you know, going in big crowds is hard. Flying is hard. Leaving your kids is hard. Mm-hmm. I was like, what are we doing? Why in the world did we agree to this? You know, we're not in a good place biblically or like with our relationship with the Lord to even, you know, deserve this. And I just remember like getting to the room that night and we both looked at each other and we were like, we're here. Like, this is, you know, we've got to shed these layers. We've got to see why this door has been open, because mm-hmm. we both have, you know, we've always believed God puts you where you're supposed to be, you know, mm-hmm. even in those really dark, hard, tragic moments, like there's a beauty in that somewhere. The second I got off the airplane, seeing Franklin Graham and he shook our hand, we were stunned.
When I got there, I was like really standoffish, like coming off the plane. Yeah. By the time we was leaving, I was trying to hug everybody, like the same people lined back up for us to leave. I'm trying to give everybody a hug.
I remember Franklin looked me in my eyes and said, "I'm so glad God brought you here."
The friends you make during it gives you a sense of community even mm-hmm. after the fact, like checking on us. Yeah. The friends we've made, checking in with each other, it gives people to help you for you to be accountable and you to hold others accountable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I was missing. And that's awesome that we've created kind of a, you know, small, we're a little scattered apart, but it still created a family. And then it only grows after that because we go to reunions and mm-hmm. Seminars and things like that.
They hit you right out of the gate with mm-hmm. change. I mean, truly, right off the rip. The very first night, Pastor Lou brought up traumas that you bring in into your marriage. I mean, the whole week, it's just layer after layer after layer of God just pulling things out. The distractions you have at home, the battles you're facing, like, it's so easy to get, your judgment gets clouded at home. Like, you forget all the beautiful things you've been given, all the moments you've been brought through, and then to sit there in Alaska and to know, like, you can't go to Alaska and not know God's real in this program. And I wish that every single veteran that was struggling could go through this program, because truly they're saving lives. Like, I was worried before we got there. You know, you don't know. We had just gone through this traumatic experience with our friend, and I watched my husband transition from a person who I thought was untouchable by that to... Every single day I got worried that I was going to wake up and my husband was going to be part of the 22. And just coming to Alaska, like, I knew the weight and the heaviness of that. I knew what we were bringing in. And I just know that them pushing us to where we were really saved, I think, Matthew's heart at that point, you know. And I think it healed a lot of hurt that we wouldn't have had tools to heal otherwise. And so Matthew and I, it's we're probably annoying all of our friends and family at this point, because every time we're like, you have to check out OHOP, you have to check out OHOP.
I tell my barber, I go to the barber shop still, like I'm in the military every week, and he's a Purple Heart recipient. He's not married, he's about to get married. And I tell him, like, man, as soon as you get married, it's made me more open. Like, before we talked about our military, but since I came home, I've really shared, like, I've shared my faith with him, asked him the same questions. And just from my barber, he's a Purple Heart recipient, like, man, what do you believe in God? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, this is the place for you. And he's like, well, I'm not married yet. I'm like, well, you will be soon. And I literally tell every veteran about it, like, everyone I know that could be experiencing something, I immediately share.
Thank you so much, Matthew and Dawn, for sharing your story. I know we're out of time and I hate that, but I appreciate you sharing your heart, sharing your story, and I think conveying the importance of the gospel first and foremost, but that is done through Operation Hail Our Patriots. So thank you for helping us portray that today.
We're so thankful for Matthew and Dawn and all those who have sacrificed so much for our freedom. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." We often see that verse on the graves of those who were lost in combat or shared on social media on Memorial Day when we especially remember our fallen military members. But being part of Operation Heal Our Patriots and meeting couples like Matthew and Dawn makes me think about how our veterans laid down their lives the minute they enlisted. They laid down their personal safety, their selfish desires, their marriages, and so much more, all for the sake of their country and our freedom. Many of them pay a heavy price, and almost all of them, like Matthew and Dawn, have lost someone they know to suicide. But there is hope, and that hope is found in the overwhelming, unconditional, healing love of Christ. Through Operation Heal Our Patriots, we've seen hundreds of veterans and their spouses discover that eternal hope as they make decisions for Christ, and we thank God for each one. So this Veterans Day, would you join us in praying for this program and our staff? But most of all, would you join us in praying for all of our veterans and active duty military, that they would know the peace of God that transcends all understanding, which would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thanks for joining us today. God bless you.